be seated. The keys to finding fulfillment in any vocation are obedience and service. From God answering Job's questions about suffering and justice, to the letter to the Hebrews, which asserts that even our great high priest serves only at the pleasure of the one who sent him. From a psalm that speaks of God's ultimate authority over all creation, to a gospel that sets submission to God and service to all as the pinnacles of greatness, this morning's readings tell us in no uncertain terms that obedience and service are essential pieces of our Christian vocations. The term vocation, which has, in many ways, been somewhat hijacked by an ever-widening secularization of this culture, was once a term reserved for those occupations religious in nature. Long before we had vocational schools teaching important skills like automotive repair or dental hygiene, to discern a vocation was to receive and in turn respond to a call to the service of God and his people. Simply put, to receive a vocation was to receive religious orders. The term vocation comes from the Latin word vocare, to summon or to call. And a true vocation finds its fruits within the affirmative response to that call, a call which ultimately comes from God alone, and a response which is summed up most succinctly in the prophet Isaiah's answer to his own call from God. Here am I, Lord, send me. So I challenge you as Christians to begin by taking back the word vocation, to repurpose it, in a sense, for its original intended purpose, to describe a call or a summons from God to the work of his kingdom. Yet while I feel we are called to reclaim vocation for religious purposes, we would do that word and this world, I feel, a great disservice if we limit its use to only those who are called by God to put on a collar. Those of you who have been participating in our BCP study might remember that I pointed out in the opening pages of our prayer book on page 13 that the theology of our church is such that we recognize the laity as an essential order of this church. And this order is so essential, in fact, that our BCP lists them even before bishops. It says, quote, "In all services, the entire Christian assembly participates in such a way that the members of each order within the church, laypersons, bishops, priests, and deacons, fulfill the functions proper to their respective orders." And again, at the end of our prayer book, in the catechism, under the heading of the ministry, it asks that all-important question, who are the ministers of the church? The answer it gives is this: the ministers of the church are laypersons, then bishops, priests, and deacons. So after giving laypersons pride of place in the list of ministers, the catechism answers the next logical question: then what is the ministry of the laity? The ministry of laypersons is to represent Christ and his church, to bear witness to him wherever they may be, and according to the gifts given them, to carry on Christ's work of reconciliation in the world and to take their place in the life, worship, and governance of the church. My brothers and sisters in Christ, if that is not a vocation, a true calling from God to a particular work, then nothing is. If those tasks don't require obedience to God and service to all, then I have misunderstood what those words mean. If that isn't a vocation, then neither are the tasks which are laid out following that definition, the tasks that describe the specific ministries of bishops, priests, and deacons. But if for some reason that isn't sufficient, the section on the ministry concludes by answering this question: what is the duty of all Christians? The duty of all Christians is to follow Christ, to come together week by week for corporate worship, and to work, pray, and give for the spread of the kingdom of God. Our call to follow Christ, the one we share regardless of which side of the rail we find ourselves on when we enter into communion each Sunday with Christ and with one another, is a vocation. It is a call from God to carry on Christ's own work of reconciliation in a broken world. It is a call to participate in our corporate worship, to share ourselves not only with each other, but with the world. It's a call to work, pray, and give of our time, talent, and treasure for the spread of the kingdom of God. It is a vocation, a call, a summons from God that necessitates that we order our lives in obedience to God for the needs of others. And this reordering of ourselves and of the world around us to which we are called is laid out rather specifically in our readings this morning. Job, in his great anguish at losing all the gifts he has been given, demands an explanation. And the explanation, the answer he gets from God, comes in the form of a series of questions. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Who determined its measurements? Who laid its cornerstone? In other words, God is asking Job, are you God? And all of this is to reset Job's thinking, to remind him who he is and to whom he is addressing his questions and his outrage. And the ultimate result is Job is reordered. He does recognize that before the Creator of all creatures are called to obedience. Our psalm this morning speaks of the wonders of God's creation and reminds us that God has set the limits of that creation, that all authority rests within Him alone. The letter to the Hebrews goes even a step further and says that even the person of Jesus Christ, our great high priest, fully God and fully human, offers himself as a sacrifice for our sins, not of his own accord, but in obedience to the Father who sent him, that one to whom even our Lord Jesus Christ gives reverent submission. Our great high priest offers obedience and submission to the Father, with whom he even shares his divine substance. If that priest is called to obedience to God, I ask you, is there a higher calling? If greatness can only be defined by our service to others, as our Lord explains to his closest disciples in today's gospel, are we to then ignore that call to be sons and daughters of God by tending to the needs of those who have yet to hear that call? Vocation is a call from God to a specific work, a call to which we must ultimately answer yes or no. But regardless of our answer, I guarantee you the call continues to go out. The work continues to be God's highest priority. The kingdom is coming and is already among us. And each of us is called to participate in that kingdom, to usher in God's will on earth as it is in heaven. Obedience and service are the keys to the kingdom which God has entrusted to his church. Obedience to him and service to others are the crossed keys which will open that gate. Not only for ourselves, but also for those whom we are called to place before us in the line that leads into that glorious kingdom. Will we be satisfied to volunteer others for the work we have been called to? Will we ignore the highest calling, the call to become sons and daughters of God through our obedience and service? Or will we answer that call, echoing the words of Isaiah, "Here am I, Lord, send me." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Join me as we affirm our common faith found in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God,
the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again. In accordance with the Scriptures, he ascended into heaven, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. But you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. And with the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken to the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge our baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the light of the world to come.
Prayers of the people are Form 4, found in your bulletin on page 5. Let us pray for the church and for the world. Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy. Guide the people of this land and of all the nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. Lord, in your mercy. Bless all whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as he loves us. Lord, in your mercy. Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. Let us pray for those on our prayer list together. Orvella,
Christine, Paul, Julio, Mary, Melissa, Kim, Matthew, Rachel, Carter, Leslie, Tatum, Jack, Michael, Burke, Christy, Jerry, Darren, Sherry, Brooke, Neji, and Aaron.
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We commend to your mercy all who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled, and we pray that we may share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom. The altar flowers today are given by the Food Group of Sheridan, with special appreciation to Father John Meyer, St. Peter's Church, and many others for the support of this organization. Lord, in your mercy. O God of patient and gentle strength, who knows our needs even... Please join me, yes. As we seek the next rector for St. Peter's, give us an open spirit, discerning hearts, and clear minds, that we may trust your will for us and become ever more united in your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Inspire our conversations, deepen our prayer, and make us a community of humility and grace. Raise up for us, we pray, a priest and a pastor who will boldly proclaim your gospel, faithfully administer your sacraments, and serve your people with love and compassion. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Hasten, O Father, the coming of your kingdom, and grant that we, your servants who now live by faith, may with joy behold your Son at his coming in glorious majesty, even Jesus Christ, our only mediator and advocate. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by all we have done, and by all we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.